Father, we just thank you for this morning. We thank you for this beautiful weather you've been giving to us the last few days. And Father, thank you for recording these things that we could learn of you. And Lord, I ask you to bless this time in your word. I pray that you'd speak to every heart in this room. And we just thank you, Lord. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right, so we've been going through the book of Genesis, obviously. And we come to Genesis chapter 5. Now, Genesis chapter 5 is an interesting chapter. It is a chapter full of genealogies, okay? And it is a bridge chapter. What I mean by that is, so it's bridging chapters 1 through 4 to the next set of chapters, 6 through 9. Because the next set of chapters, 6 through 9, is going to deal with Noah and the worldwide flood. So in chapters 1 through 4, we talk specifically about the creation, creation of the world, creation of the earth, creation of man. And and then, as I said, in chapters 6 through 9, we're going to talk about Noah and his flood. So chapter 5 kind of is sandwiched in between, so it's a bridge chapter. This is the book of genealogy of Adam. Now, the idea there of genealogy is descendants or family histories, all right? In the day that that God had created man, he had made him in the likeness of God. He created them male and female, blessed them, and called them mankind in the day they were created. Now, the King James uses the word, instead of mankind there, uses the word Adam. The name Adam means mankind or man. And I like how that's phrased there because, again, it's an implication of what we learn in Genesis chapter 2, at the creation of male and female. Female was created from man. And the female, or Eve, is his exact counterpart. It's his suitable helpmate, okay? And in chapter 2, if you recall, we talked about the first marriage of Adam and Eve together. And he made them male and female, okay? And I said this a few weeks ago when we were in Genesis chapter 2. I know it's an unpopular thing to say these days, but there are two genders, only two genders, male and female. That's what God created, male and female. And the two are supposed to be joined together in marriage, all right? That is God's picture of marriage. Remember, we also talked about marriage, that the picture of marriage is a picture of Christ and his church. And so anything that's not male and female marriage or Christian marriage is not true marriage because it's marring the picture of Christ and his church. So it's interesting how God has here in chapter 5 this kind of reminder. Okay, so I created male and female. I'm reminding you guys of this. This is what happened. It's important. So now, he says this, and he says, verse 3, and Adam lived 130 years and begot a son in his own likeness and his image and named him Seth. Now, interesting here in verse 3 where it says that this son was begotten in his own likeness or image. If you recall in chapter 3, what happened? The fall of man. And because of the fall of man, we as human beings are born. Every one of us are born in the flesh, and we're born spiritually dead. And the only one that can make us spiritually alive is by trusting in Jesus Christ. Okay? God can do that. Being born again by the Spirit of God, the Bible refers that to. But notice here it says that in his own image and likeness. In other words, what it's saying is that every single child that's born from Adam and Eve going forward is going to be born a sinner, bent to sin, that needs forgiveness of a savior, okay? And so that's what he's talking about here when he says that. And he said, it says that Seth was born to him, and Seth's name means appointed. Then after he begot Seth, the days of Adam were 800 years. And he had sons and daughters, so all the days that Adam lived were 930 years, and he died. Now you're going to say, well, wait a minute, 930 years, that's crazy. Remember, keep in mind, when the earth was created, there was a water canopy all over the earth. And that water canopy kept out all of the ultraviolet rays of the sun. Because ultimately, what ages us now is the rays from the sun. So this canopy kept out all the ultraviolet rays that would age us, so people lived longer. Plus, remember, creation was perfect, and then there was the fall. All right. In fact, the Bible says in Romans that through one man's sin, through a man's disobedience, that Adam, sin entered, and then death, okay? And I want you to pay attention as we go through this chapter here. It'll say, and he died, okay? So it'll give the person, it'll give how many years they lived, and then say, it'll say, he died. And it's important when we get to verse 21, and I'll explain. So, verse 6. So Adam and Eve have Seth. Now, keep in mind here too, this line, this genealogy that they're talking about goes from Adam to Noah. It's that line. It doesn't mean that Adam and Eve had other kids. It says here specifically that he had sons and daughters. So if Adam lived 930 years, think about how many kids he could have had with his wife. That's a lot, okay? So keep that in mind. This is just this line because this line is going to follow from Seth from Adam to Noah. So verse 6, Seth lived 105 years and begot Enosh. And after he begot Enosh, Seth lived 807 years and had sons and daughters. So all the days of Seth were 912 years and he died. And by the way, Enosh's name means mortal, okay? Verse 12, Canaan lived 70 years. Wait, I skipped tonight. Sorry. Verse 9. Enosh lived 90 years and begot Canaan. And after he begot Canaan, Enosh lived 815 years. And he had sons and daughters. So all the days of Enosh were 905 years, and he died. Verse 12. Canaan lived 70 years and begot Mahalalel. And after he begot Mahalalel, Canaan lived 840 years and had sons and daughters. So all the days of Canaan were 910 years, and he died. Verse 15, Mahalalel lived 65 years and begot Jared. There's a name you can pronounce, it's easy. After he begot Jared, Mahalalel lived 830 years and had sons and daughters. So all the days of Mahalalel were 895 years, and he died. You know, it's interesting. I don't recall when my wife and I got married that I'd read Genesis chapter 5. I bet the boys are very happy that I didn't know Genesis chapter 5 because maybe I would have named them Hillel or something, whatever. Interesting names. But every name has a meaning, and we'll get to that in a moment. Now, you're probably thinking, why do they put these genealogies in the Bible? Why do they have this family history here? It's because, look, God, when he is rolling out a plan that he has, he's going to give you the detail of what he's going to do. And it's important to remember that through this line from Adam to Noah, eventually Jesus Christ is going to come. Okay? So you got to keep in mind that God is very detailed when it comes to his plan. He always has a plan. We've learned that numerous times. Remember when he created Adam and Adam was alone, but God had a plan. He made Adam go to sleep, took part of Adam's side, and created Eve, his wife. Or when in chapter 3, when the fall of man happened, when Eve was tempted by Satan, and she ate of the fruit, and then gave it to Adam, and Adam disobeyed and ate the fruit, and he sinned. They both sinned. God had a plan of redemption. And we talked about last week, Cain and Abel. When Cain killed Abel, again, God had a plan. He started this line through Adam of Seth to Noah. So God always has a plan, okay? Now, verse 18, Jared lived 162 years and begot Enoch. And he begot Enoch, after he begot Enoch, Jared lived 800 years and had sons and daughters. So all the days of Jared were 962 years and he died. Verse 21, Enoch lived 65 years and begot Methuselah. And after he begot Methuselah, Enoch walked with God 300 years and had sons and daughters. So all the days of Enoch were 365 years. And look at verse 24. It says, and Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. Now, remember what I said at the beginning of the study? I said, they're going to give the years, and they say, he died, and he died, and he died. Well, we get to Enoch, and what happened? He didn't die. It says that he walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. The word for took there in the Hebrew means to seize, to carry, away, to take up. Okay? That should sound familiar to us. For those of us who read our New Testament, and some of you guys who have been Christians longer, probably have heard this term. Have you guys ever heard the term the rapture? Okay? It's when Christ is going to come for his church and take his church from the earth, right? It's found in 1 Thessalonians 4. In other places. But this is a picture of the rapture. See, what was Enoch doing? It says that he walked with God. He walked with him. Okay? Now, when you walk with somebody, what does it mean? It means, well, you walk with them, you talk to them, you're in their life, you spend time with them, right? That's what it usually means. And see, when it says, oftentimes the Bible, even the New Testament, talks about, you know, people walking after the Lord or walking after Jesus, it doesn't mean that, like, Jesus walked a certain way, then we have to walk that way. So Jesus walked, hey. So we're all going to, hey. That's not what it means. It means that following or walking with, having a relationship, it implies having a relationship. So Enoch walked with God. Now, put your finger here in Genesis 5. I want you to turn to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. What's the best commentary in the Bible? The Bible. Hebrews chapter 11. We were there last week too. It is the hall of faith. It talks about all the different Old Testament individuals through history. And they did everything by faith. And it says here in verse 5 of chapter 11 of Hebrews, by faith Enoch was taken away so that he did not see death and was not found because God had taken him. For before he was taken, now listen very carefully, before he was taken, he had this testimony that he pleased God. That he pleased God. And this is in verse 6, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is the rewarder of those who diligently seek him. See, it's always by faith. Okay, so by faith, Enoch walked with God. By faith, Enoch, in walking with God, he pleased God. You know, and oftentimes, you know, when I was reading through this text this week and preparing to teach this morning, oh Lord, my desire is to walk with you and to please you, Lord. And see, it's amazing because I found in my life when I live for the Lord, when I go to please God first, everything else kind of takes care of itself. And, you know, it's interesting because what I'm finding as I get older and different things that I've been through in my life, marriage is a great example. See, the more that I please God, the more that I have a stronger relationship with Christ, the more it's going to affect the way that I am as a husband and then as a father to my kids. That's such a huge thing. It's such a big deal. It really is. And the times where the Lord is not the focus of my life and I try to focus on myself or whatever other stuff, I fail oftentimes as a husband and as a father. But when I focus on Christ, when my aim is to please God and God alone, it's amazing how that affects everything else. And see, as Christians, what our job is to walk with God and to please him. That's the point, is to walk with him. And see, walking, again, implies a relationship, but also walking implies a relationship over a period of time. It's not just this one-time thing, and then that's it. It's not like, you know, people often talking about, you guys have heard of Billy Graham, right? So Billy Graham would have evangelistic crusades. People will come forward and say, well, I gave my life to Christ. But then it doesn't stop there. It keeps going till you die. You keep walking with the Lord, and even beyond then when you die, because to be absent from the body, to be present with the Lord. So, walking with God, that's what Enoch did, and that's so important. Now, take a right-hand turn to the book of Jude. The book of Jude, this also talks about Enoch. It's going to give some information about Enoch that wasn't given in the book of Genesis. So turn to Jude. And Jude is the only book in the Bible that has no chapters, because it's only one chapter. So Jude, turn to verse 14, Jude 14. It says this, now Enoch, the seventh from Adam, prophesied about these men. So in other words, Enoch, not only would he walk with God and please him, but he was also a prophet. He prophesied about these men also, saying, behold, the Lord comes with 10,000s of his saints to execute judgment on all, to convict all who are ungodly among them, all their ungodly deeds, which have committed in an ungodly way, and all the harsh things which the ungodly sinners have spoken against him. So Enoch was a prophet. He talked about the second coming of Christ, second coming of God, even back in Genesis. That's who Enoch was. So this idea of walking, okay, I'm going to read something from a commentary that I found, which I thought was interesting. So what is godliness but walking with God? The ungodly and profane are without God in the world. They walk contrary to him. But the godly walk with God, which presupposes reconciliation to God. And in other words, a person who has a right relationship with God then can walk with him. You can't walk with God if you don't have the right relationship with him. For two cannot walk together except they be agreed. And that's from Amos. And includes all the parts and instances of godly, righteous, and a sober life. And the idea of a sober life is to have a clear head. To walk with God is to set God always before us. And to act as though that are always under his eye. So we always set God before us, and we act as though he's always watching us. I remember one time when I used to date my wife. I was dating my wife. And her mom would always say to her before she left, you know, God's watching you. But we go and do whatever we were going to do. So, and it's true. He's always watching us. And it worked. It definitely worked. And so I've said that to my own kids too. God is watching you. Remember who you represent, I always say. This commentator also goes on to say, it is to live a life of communion with God, both in ordinances and providences. It is to make God's word our rule and his glory our end in all our actions. See, God's word, you know, I always pray, God, help me to be faithful to you and faithful to your word, what you say in your scripture. That's the rule of law, if you will, that I want to live by, is his word. It is to make it our constant care and endeavor in everything to please God and nothing to offend him. Man, think about that. Do you ever think about that when once you're doing certain things? Are you offending God? Remember when David in Psalm 51 is confessing what he did with Bathsheba, and he says that against you and you alone have I sinned, God. He didn't say against even, if you recall that story, remember. So David is walking on the roof of his palace, and he's watching, and he's looking down. He sees Bathsheba bathing, and Bathsheba was already married. So long story short, David calls for Bathsheba. She comes. He has relations with her. She gets pregnant. So then for what David does to cover it up is he calls her husband, Uriah, back from the battle and tries to get Uriah drunk so then he will lay with his wife. So then it'll look like it's his son. Well, Uriah said, no, I won't do that. As long as my fellow soldiers are out there fighting, it's not right for me to be here enjoying my wife when they're fighting the war. So after that doesn't work a few times, David sends him back into the war and has him basically murdered. And then that son, or that child rather, that Bathsheba is carrying dies. And David is lamenting, or he's over this child's death. And he writes Psalm 51 to confess his sin to who? To God. See, do we ever think about that sometimes, that some of the things that we're doing is offending God? Because that's our first person that we have to worry about offending. If you don't offend God, more likely you won't offend your wife or your kids or anybody else. And it says, and this commentator also goes on to say, it is to comply with his will, with God's will, to concur with his designs, to be workers together with him. It is to be followers of him as dear children. Now, on your way back to Genesis 5, I want you to turn to 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2. It's only a few pages to the left. 1 John chapter 2. So it says this in verse 1 of 1 John chapter 2. My little children, these things I write to you so that you may not sin. And if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father. That advocate is Jesus Christ. It's basically, he's our defense lawyer. With Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. Verse 2. And he himself is our propitiation or satisfaction for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the entire world. So Christ died for everyone, okay, is what that verse is saying. Now, by this we know that we know him if we keep his commandments. He who says, I know him, and does not keep his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps his word, truly the love of God is perfected in him. By this we know that we are in him. Now verse 6 says this, he who says he abides in him, abides in the Lord, ought to himself also walk just as he walked. How did Jesus walk? If you read through the Gospels, how did Jesus walk? You could argue, okay, he walked in love. He loved people. He walked in grace. He showed grace to people. And that's all true. But one thing that we forget is he walked in obedience. He walked in obedience to his Father. To whatever God the Father told him to do, that's what he did. There's a story in the Gospel of Mark where Jesus is off by himself praying. And then Peter comes and finds him and says, hey, Lord, everybody's there to see you. And Jesus said, okay, well, that's fine. I mean, this is my paraphrase. That's fine, but we need to go to the next town. And the implication there is he spent time out there in prayer with his Father, and his Father gave him, okay, I want you to go here now today. Because notice what Jesus never did in the Gospels. He never ran around going, I got so much to do. I got so many things to go. He never did that. Because he always went to his Father, and his Father gave him the instructions on what he would need to do for that day. Now, back to Genesis 5. You guys just thought this was just genealogy. So Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. And one more thing about this idea of walking. The word walk implies a steady, progressive relationship and not just a casual acquaintance. To walk with God is the business of a lifetime and not just the performance of an hour. And see, that's the point. In our lives with Christ, when we get saved, it starts, it's just a starting point. It's not the ending point, it's a starting point. So we're going to go through all kinds of ups and downs. We're going to have all kinds of struggles and trials. But the point of the whole thing is to walk with God. Because as we walk with God, others are watching our example. And I'm not saying it's easy, because look, it's not easy. Because sometimes, and some of us know this, have gone through some pretty difficult and challenging things. But that's where your reliance on Christ comes in even more. You've got to cling to him. You've got to put him first. And that's how you're able to get through it. Anything that I go through in my life, struggles or trials or whatever might happen, the only way that I'm able to get through it is with Christ. And when I'm not with Christ, when I choose to willingly not spend time with him, when I choose not to walk with him, that's when I screw my life up. I'll be honest, that's when I screw my life up. So Enoch walked with God. He was not, for God took him. Verse 25, Methuselah lived 187 years and begot Lamech. And this is not the Lamech from chapter 4. Okay, this is a different Lamech, all right, not to be confused. After he begot Lamech, Methuselah lived 782 years, and he had sons and daughters. So all the days of Methuselah were 969 years, and he died. Verse 28, Lamech lived 182 years and had a son. And he called his name Noah, saying, this one will comfort us concerning our work and toil of our hands because of the ground which the Lord had cursed. After he begot Noah, Lamech lived 595 years and had sons and daughters. So all the days of Lamech were 777 years, and he died. And Noah was 500 years old, and Noah begot Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Now, what's interesting, if you go through this and you go through all these guys that are listed and how long they lived, there is some crossover. So some of them were contemporaries of each other. So here's what I'm trying to say. You can imagine that Adam would have told his son Seth about what happened in the garden, how God created him and Eve, and everything was perfect, and he told him to do one thing, don't eat of that tree of knowledge of good and evil, and we did. So it was very easy for Adam to pass it on to his son and then to pass it on to his son, etc. And some of these people lived at the same time of each other. So if you would literally take this chapter, and you can look online, they have all kinds of charts that'll show this. People crossed over and were contemporaries of one another. So they knew these things. It wasn't like this happened and then, 2,000 years later, then this, there would have been like problems with the story. In other words, back in those days, there was not a lot of writing, so they would orally tell each other this stuff. So keep that in mind. Also, another thing, and you know, better Bible scholars than me, if you take the names of Seth, of Enosh, of Canaan, of Mahalalel, Jared, Enoch, Methuselah, Lamech, and Noah, if you take what their names mean, this is what it says. Tell me if this doesn't sound familiar. It says, Adam, which is man, so man, Seth, appointed, Enosh, mortal, Canaan, sorrow, Mahalalel, the blessed God, Jared shall come down, Enoch, teaching, Methuselah, his death shall bring, Lamech, the despairing, and Noah, rest or comfort. So let me read it again. Man appointed mortal sorrow, the blessed God shall come down teaching, his death shall bring the despairing rest or comfort. So the very gospel is embedded in this chapter. So God knew what he was doing. God knew what he's doing. And the interesting thing about Methuselah is Methuselah said his death shall bring. What's going to happen is Methuselah is going to live 969 years, and his death shall bring after he dies. You know what comes after, exactly after he dies? The global flood happens. But we'll pick that up next time. So let's pray. Father God, thank you for your word. Thank you for the truth of your scriptures. And Father, again, I pray that you speak to each heart that is here this morning. Thank you, Father, that you are so faithful. And Father, I do pray for each one here. Father, I do pray for us that we would continue to walk with you. For those of us, Lord, who have been faithfully walking, just pray, Lord, that you would continue to encourage that walk. That we would be strengthened to continue in that walk. For those of us, Lord, who maybe walked but then have now stopped, have gotten distracted, or just tired, I pray that, Lord, they would be refreshed this morning by your Spirit to start again and start walking. God, you are amazing. Lord, we can not spend time with you for months, for weeks. But yet, Lord, you're just there waiting for us to come back. Lord, in my mind, it's like you get up in the morning, you get ready for work, and you go to leave to go to work, and there you are, Jesus, sitting on the couch, waiting for us to sit next to you. And we sit next to you, and we have a great time of fellowship. But then there are days, Lord, where we're too busy for you, and we run out the door. But even those days that we run out the door, you're there sitting, waiting for us. So, Lord, I pray that we would be encouraged to spend that time with you. That we would put you first, God, in everything that we do. And as we do that, Lord, we just watch and see what you'll do in our lives and through our lives. Lord, again, thank you for your word. We pray this in Jesus' precious name. Amen.